You'll turn with me to Galatians 5, as we're going to be looking, Galatians chapter 5. I'm going to go ahead and start reading from verse 1 all the way to verse 16, and we're going to be looking at verses 13 to 16 specifically. Starting in verse 1, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. Behold, I, Paul, say to you that if you receive circumcision, Christ will be of no benefit to you. And I testify again to every man who receives circumcision that he is under obligation to keep the whole law. You have been severed from Christ, you who are being justified by law. You have fallen from grace. For we, through the Spirit, by faith, are eagerly waiting for the hope of righteousness. For in Christ Jesus, neither circumcision nor uncircumcision means anything, but faith working through love. You are running well. Who hindered you from obeying the truth? This persuasion is not from him who calls you. A little leaven leavens the whole lump. I have confidence in you, in the Lord, that you will adopt no other view. But the one who is disturbing you will bear his judgment, whoever he is. But I, brothers, if I still preach circumcision, why am I still persecuted? Then the stumbling block of the cross would have been abolished. I wish that those who are upsetting you would even mutilate themselves. For you are called to freedom, brothers, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. But through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word. In this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. But if you bite and devour one another, beware that you are not consumed by one another. But I say, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desire of the flesh. So as we start looking at this, there's a couple things I'd like for us to consider and a couple questions. Obviously, what does freedom mean in this context, and what does this freedom mean for us as well? I think a lot of Christians, unfortunately, misunderstand what freedom means in the Bible. There's a lot of references to freedom being free in Christ. And so this passage has a lot of those references. And so I think it's just important for us to be careful that we understand what this is. I remember I was witnessing to a friend a long time ago. I was a kid. I was maybe 9 or 10, maybe 11, I don't remember. And I was trying to explain to him what salvation was. I was trying to witness to him. And I asked him if he had ever been saved. And I remember his answer was very confusing because he said, "Yeah, I've been saved." And I was had to think about that for a second because I was like, "Well, I'm pretty sure you're not." So I asked him, "Okay, when were you saved?" Trying to hear his testimony. And when he told me about it, he ended up telling me a story about how he had almost fallen or something like that, and how his dad saved him from dying from that situation. So obviously, what had happened was he had misunderstood something that I just assumed was very obvious, a term of salvation that in his context, he had no idea about salvation from sin. And so he completely misunderstood me. So in order to avoid that kind of confusion, while we're talking about freedom in this passage, it's important to notice that Paul is talking about freedom from the requirements to obey the Mosaic law. So just keep in mind that that's the main use of freedom that he's talking about, just so we don't confuse that. So if you look at verse 1, he says, it was for freedom that Christ set us free. Therefore, stand firm and do not be subject again to a yoke of slavery. That yoke of slavery he's talking about is just the Mosaic law. So he very clearly defines it there. So Paul doesn't want the Galatians to be subject to a yoke of slavery, being forced to obey a law that can't make them righteous. That's basically the problem, that these Galatians were trying to obey the law to kind of gain some kind of righteousness. But the law couldn't do that, and it could only actually expose their inability to be righteous. It could just make their unrighteousness very apparent, which is the same thing that it'll do for us if we try to just follow out these rules and commandments just to please God. So instead, Paul wants every Christian to understand what freedom from the law means for them. So that's what I'd like to look at tonight. So the first point, and I have 3 points here that we'll go through. The first is that the purpose of freedom is service. So that's what I'd like to see in verses 13 to 16. As we're looking through this, the purpose of freedom is service. So verses 13 to 14, I'll read them again. For you are called to freedom, brothers. Only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh, but through love, serve one another. For the whole law is fulfilled in one word, or I'm reading from a different translation. I think NASB says one statement. In this, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. Without love, our service becomes a burden, a task we have to follow because God said so. It basically becomes another way of actually following the Mosaic Law because it's just another commandment that we have to follow of service now. And I've seen it a lot of times. I've done it so many times where I just say, well, I know God wants me to do it, so I guess I'll just do it. But this isn't the attitude Paul is expecting right here from our service. He uses a word. So the word through literally means by the means of. So by means of our love for each other, we should serve one another. That's what he's saying. True servanthood just won't work without love. And the one way I can pretty easily demonstrate that is my dad's sitting right next to me here, for those of you on Zoom. So if I love my dad, which I do, then I'll be more than glad to serve him. It won't be a matter of forcing myself or, okay, I have to obey some commandment somewhere in the Bible that says I have to serve him. But if I love him, then my service for him will be a natural outflow of the love I'm supposed to have for him. It means that this is a problem. What Paul's talking about is a problem of attitude, not necessarily just of action. The difference between serving others and serving our flesh here in verse 13 is a matter of what we love. That's really what he's talking about. If we love our flesh, we're going to serve our flesh. If I love my flesh, I'm going to serve my flesh. And if I love others, I'll serve others. So obviously it sounds simple, but unfortunately, like a lot of things in the Bible that we read, it's easier said than done. So I'd like to read something from Martin Luther that I just think is very helpful in understanding a bit of what Paul is talking about here. So he gives a helpful explanation. If you want to know how you ought to love your neighbor, ask yourself how much you love yourself. If you were to get into any trouble or danger, you would be glad to have the love and help of all men. You do not need any book of instruction to teach you how to love your neighbor. All you have to do is to look into your own heart, and it will tell you how you ought to love your neighbor as yourself. So I think that's a pretty good explanation there and pretty helpful for us. So verse 14 again says, for the whole law is fulfilled in one word in the statement, you shall love your neighbor as yourself. So what he's saying is instead of trying to strive after obeying the law of Moses, which is what these Galatians were trying to do, and trying to be morally good and please God and try to maybe earn some points and some merit of showing God, look at all I'm doing for you. The solution God offers is love. It seems obvious once you explain it, because again, if I love my dad unconditionally, then I won't do anything to harm him, but instead I'll be more than glad to do all things for his benefit. So here Paul shows how we actually turn our freedom, which Christ has given us, into a fulfillment of the law, because love fulfills the law. Because when we love our fellow believers as ourselves, we'll be more than happy to serve them. We'll have no desire to covet the things they have or steal from them or lie to them. And so our love for them will actually lead us to fulfill the law of God. So this is kind of one side. This is the purpose of freedom. But obviously there are also dangers to our freedom, because it's all too easy for us to take our freedom and to find our focus on ourselves, which is something we're really good at doing as sinful humans. So Paul warns us what will happen if we do that. So this leads to the next point. If any of you are taking notes, number two, the danger of freedom is selfishness. And this is the next thing we see that Paul is talking about. So I'd like to go back to verse 13, look at a phrase we glanced over, which you guys might be aware of now. He says, only do not turn your freedom into an opportunity for the flesh. So obviously our freedom is a gift from God. That's what he says at the beginning of the verse. You were called to freedom. Paul's actually saying that's a gift from God that he's giving you. It's not a license for us to serve our flesh however we want. But the word that he uses for opportunity there is a term that's actually used in war, basically meaning a base of operations. And so what he's saying there is, don't even give your flesh this place, this space of operations where it can work from, where it can take your freedom and kind of run away with it. And so Paul is warning against even taking the smallest step, kind of giving even just a little bit of room for your flesh to say, okay, yeah, I can take this freedom and I can abuse it. And Paul says that because he knows that our flesh is going to take every opportunity that it can. And so if we allow our flesh to take that opportunity, that base of operations from our freedom, it will. So Paul wants believers to understand that the purpose of our call to freedom was not to serve our flesh. That's not the purpose, but instead it's actually to serve other believers. So let's look at verse 15, where he says, "But if you bite and devour one another," this is a continuation of his warning about the danger of letting our flesh take the opportunity to abuse our freedom. He's continuing that now. "But if you bite and devour one another, take care that you are not consumed by one another." The result of focusing on ourselves and serving our own desires is that eventually we're going to turn on each other, because our desires eventually are going to conflict with each other. Eventually, what I want, and for those of you on Zoom, I'm sorry you can't see people next to me, but eventually my dad's desire, there he is gonna conflict with my desire. And eventually when I want to serve myself, that's going to conflict with when my brother wants for himself and what I want for myself. They're going to conflict and take precedence over the needs of others. And so an interesting repetition is useful to notice here, which is the phrase "one another." Paul uses it multiple times. When he talks about serving in verse 13, he uses the phrase "one another," and he uses it over and over again. And the idea of this word is reciprocal, meaning it's mutual. As I serve you, you serve me. And that's the idea that Paul's giving. It's not just an individual command for individual service, but he's actually saying, I want you as a church to be so consumed with love for each other that you all start serving each other. And so this adds to the intensity of his command to service. He's not just saying, all right, you just one person serve another person, but he's saying, serve one another. And that's what he wants. That's the ideal church that Paul is creating a picture of, that he says, I want everybody serving each other, one another. But unfortunately, this also adds intensity to the warning, because if we as Christians allow ourselves to be so consumed with ourselves that we are consumed by our freedoms and abuse it to serve our own flesh, we will end up consuming each other. That's what he's warning. In that same way, not just me consuming another person, but the entire church, he's saying, be careful of that because you're going to all consume one another. So this kind of reminds us of a pack of wild animals that are all just fighting each other because they're all so consumed with themselves. And we can so easily take our liberty and use our liberty as a platform to just promote ourselves and get so consumed that we all start fighting over first place to serve ourselves. So because of the pull of our flesh is so strong, we tend towards this attitude. But Paul offers a solution to this as well. He doesn't just say, be careful, and then leave us on our own. But this leads to the last point, which is possibly the most important, because applying it is literally the difference between success and failure of understanding and applying these verses. So the third point I'd like to point out is the power of freedom is the Spirit. And you can see this very clearly in the text that he goes from this warning of biting and devouring one another. And then he says, but I say, verse 16, walk by the Spirit and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. So obviously this is a pretty amazing verse and is definitely helpful when thinking about temptation. But Paul connects it directly with service to others. And he says, this is the solution to the danger of our freedom, which is serving our own flesh. He says, but if you walk by the Spirit, you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And he warns that failure to use our freedom to serve others will lead to fighting and division. But then he tells us, this is how you avoid it. The only way we fight against our natural desire to serve our flesh is walk by the Spirit. So unfortunately, we don't have time. I don't have time to cover all the aspects of what it means to walk by the Spirit. Just for time's sake, it would take too long. But I'd like to at least give you a quick idea of it by looking at Paul's explanation in verse 18. So two verses later, verse 18, and I'll give a second just for everybody to turn there, because this is just very important in understanding what does it mean to walk by the Spirit. And he gives just a little bit more insight into it, which is verse 18, but if you are led by the Spirit, now he uses a different term, you are not under the law. So first we have this idea of walking by the Spirit. Okay, that's helpful because walking is something we do every day. It's a way of moving forward. So we can see, okay, you're walking by the Spirit. but it's kind of hard to know what that means. But here he adds being led by the Spirit. So, okay, now we're walking, but instead of it being just this idea of just go with on a stroll with the Spirit, it's very clearly, okay, now you're being led by the Spirit as you're walking with him. You're not just going wherever you like and the Spirit will just kind of come with you, but actually you're going where the Spirit wants you to go. So you're following with the Spirit. And so you're walking in step with him. And so this is this idea of you're walking in step with him, he's leading. But the only way the Holy Spirit can actually lead you is if you know where he's going, know what he's doing. And so the only way you can do that is to look at the Bible. So we're ta what he's talking about is not just a vague idea of just feeling the Spirit. He's saying, walk with the Spirit, be led by the Spirit by knowing where the Spirit is going. The only way you can find that out is in the Bible. But this is what I'd like to bring to all of your attention. Our personal spiritual life cannot be separated from our life of service. And so this is important. So I'll say it again. Our personal spiritual life, whatever we're doing in our own time, cannot be separated from our life of service, our public life of service. If you think that you can live life however you'd like and still expect to serve effectively for God in the church, it won't work. But what will happen eventually? Well, you'll turn your freedom as an opportunity for the flesh. That's going to happen eventually because you're going to be so used to serving your flesh in your own time, to doing whatever you'd like in your own time, that eventually when it gets a little bit more difficult, when not everybody's smiling around you as you're trying to serve the church, eventually there's going to be a choice of serving others or serving your flesh. And you will choose to serve the flesh, or to put in the terms of verse 16, you will carry out the desires of the flesh. But again, in verse 16, Paul gives the antidote, the key to fulfilling the purpose of service. He says, walk by the Spirit, right? In your personal spiritual life, in your individual private moments, walk by the Spirit, and you will not carry out the desires of the flesh. And so this is basically the entirety of what he's saying in verses 13 to 16. He goes from the purpose of service or of freedom. We are free in Christ. We have incredible freedom because of what Christ did on the cross. But he says the purpose is serve each other. And then he says, watch out because your flesh wants to serve itself. And then he says, the solution to this, however, is to walk by the Spirit and you will not fulfill the desires of the flesh, which is serve myself with my freedom. And so as I close, it's my prayer for all of you, and even as we're going to be praying in a moment and sharing prayer requests, is that all of you will seek God's help to learn what it means to be free in Christ. It's not freedom to do whatever you want. It's not freedom so you can sin. I think we all know that. But the amazing freedom of the gospel that we see right here is through love, serve one another. And that doesn't sound like it's this is the pinnacle of life that we've been waiting for, to be able to serve other people. But that is the story of the gospel. The story of the gospel is love, but through that love, serve one another. So the next time you're tempted to use your freedom in Christ to serve yourself, or you're tempted to refuse to serve someone else, or convinced that you don't have the strength to be a servant like God wants you to, and it's just too hard, I've been there a lot of times. Remember this verse. Mark 10:25 says, "For even the Son of Man did not come to be served, but to serve, and to give his life a ransom for many." If we claim to be disciples of the Lord Jesus Christ, which if you call yourself a Christian, that is what you're doing. You're claiming to be a follower. Remember that even he said, a servant is not better than his master or a disciple than his teacher. If Jesus was able and willing to serve, we can follow his example and gain the same victory as he did. It will be difficult, obviously, and I can attest to that. Even I am today still struggling, and seeing as my family is the only one here present with me, they all know that I still struggle with the desire to serve myself and the desire to refuse to serve them. But this is what God wants for us, and we are able to by walking by the Spirit. Dear Heavenly Father, I just pray right now for all of us here, myself included, that we will have a desire to learn what it means to serve each other through love. And I pray that you would teach me that, especially as I seek to serve in ministry, to learn what it means to, through love, serve one another. So Lord, I just pray that you would be with this church, that they would learn what it means to serve each other in love, to beware of their flesh that is going to pull them into service and love for themselves and tempt them into biting and devouring each other. And so Lord, I just pray that you would help every single person here to have a desire to walk by the Spirit, to let themselves be consumed by love for you that overflows into love for each other. And we pray, I pray all these things in Jesus' name. Amen.